Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today is The Bigger Picture, one of the more important shows that I do, to help everybody keep your feet on the ground and keep out of the craziness that's out there. With my excellent friend and co-host, Michael Riccia, we're going to be talking from his latest book, although he has another one almost done, Many Voices, One Mission, which I love, and I know a lot of you love it because a lot of you already have it and are already reading it. So good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. Great to be with you again.
That's always good to talk to you. I know you said yesterday to me in an email, it feels like it was just 2 days ago. And I was like, oh my God, it feels like 2 years ago to me.
It's been a packed year thus far.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? It's my spiritual shows that help me keep my sanity. So maybe that's why I miss them more than, you know, waking up to the news every day. You know, I find that it's become a little more difficult, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about it. It seems to become a little more difficult for people to start to connect or to connect to their higher selves or spirit. And I'm thinking that some of it is because of all the heaviness and the darkness around the field.
Yes. We've just been talking about the same conditions applying in connecting with Joseph in bringing through this next book. And it has made me a great deal more depleted each time I sit for a Joseph chapter for this book than it has for previous books. And I'm sure it's because the world has turned its back on spirituality to a greater degree. There is a heaviness around, and we have to punch through that heaviness. But we have to also remember that that connection to our higher self is always there within us. It's not as though we're looking for something outside of ourselves.
Right.
That connection is at our core. And as long as we can still this world, as long as we can shut it out for our meditation period, we can still get in touch with our higher self and receive intuition from our higher self. The problem that we have, the band of light sitting, is that we are trying to connect to other entities, to other people. And they have to punch through the heaviness of this vibration in order to make it work, particularly in a trans situation. Joseph has to get through, has to connect with me, has to take me over, as it were, and has to maintain that level of energy whilst he completes an entire chapter. Mm-hmm. And it has become increasingly difficult to do that. There's no inferior quality to the chapters. If anything, he's upped his game yet again with this next book. But there is a greater degree of work involved by Joseph and by all the people in the soul group that help to maintain that bubble of energy. There's a greater amount of work needs to be done to maintain the connection.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I send energy to the field every night, and you know, I try to visualize it. But when I visualize the field, it just looks like, I don't know if you've ever seen all those pictures of all the space junk floating around the Earth.
Yes.
But that's kind of what I see. And yes, it's just incredible to me. And then I was, you know, you look at the Earth and what's happening between the fires, the floods, dams breaking, volcanoes blowing, lava flowing. And I remember in your book, you talked about Earth rebelling. And, you know, at the same time, I can see Mother Earth, you know, screaming at us in a million ways. But at the same time, there's a preponderance of crop circles appearing, more so than I remember in any given year.
Yes, yes. Certainly, the Earth is scratching an itch. And unfortunately, we're the itch.
Right.
And it's become more than an itch because we're polluting the earth. We're polluting the very vibrations of this planet, of the reality of this planet, with our thoughts. And it's a cumulative effect. Unless we start to put light into the world, then we are adding darkness and darkness and darkness and taking more out at the same time. We want more things materially. Everything that we've got around us, everything, right, comes out of the earth, including our physical bodies. And we take and we take and we take, and we only give back darkness because that's what we're thinking. That's what we're up to. Mm-hmm. That's the way that we react to each other. We've got to return to our spiritual roots and send light into the earth. We've got to repair the wounds that we've created. I think we've discussed in past shows that many people say, why have you let this happen, God? Or why is the earth reacting, right, in this way? The earth isn't reacting. Mm-hmm. The earth is, that there's a reaction in the only way that the earth can react. The earth is wounded and we've wounded it. And then we rub salt in the wounds.
Right.
We have to change our attitude towards the planet. We have to accept the planet as being part of the oneness that we are, for a start. We see it as something different, something separate, something that we can use, something that we can exploit. No, it's a spirit. And without that spirit, we can't exist here. That's the writing on the wall. We can't exist here without that spirit allowing us to exist here.
Right.
And so we've got to treat it with respect, we've got to treat it with light, and we've got to acknowledge that it's a part of us.
Right. Well, you know, Native Americans have always taught that the earth is our mother. You know, I remember, yes, when I used to teach the medicine wheel, we used to sing this little chant, you know, the earth is our mother and we must take care of her, and that she takes care of us. But, yes, you know, this week I had a news story that only 13% of the ocean is pristine anymore. And this morning, someone sent me a story that no one seems to be covering out of Florida, where the manatees, the sharks, and the turtles are all floating up dead on the shore. And humans think that we can, humans think that we can live without these creatures, without a clean ocean, without clean air. And you know, it takes me back to in the 80s when I studied with Sun Bear, and in the 1980s, he said, humans are like fleas on a dog's back, and when the earth is ready, she's going to shake the fleas off.
Absolutely.
And when I look at what's going on the planet, I would say, well, it looks like the time is right. It looks like the great shaking has begun.
Yes, it does, if we're not careful, if we don't change. And as you said, each creature is dependent on every other creature. Each creature is an integral part of the whole with an integral part to play. It's a balanced sphere, or it should be a balanced sphere, but we've unbalanced it. We've got to get back to acknowledging that all things are part of us. All things are due equal respect. Mm-hmm. The big thing at the moment, of course, is the problem with plastic. We're finding plastic getting into fish.
Right.
And people are eating the fish. So the fish are mutating. The fish are dying horribly because they're full of pieces of plastic. And then people are eating the fish, so they're full of pieces of plastic. And you can see so many different ways through technology, through pollution, through disrespect for the earth, in which the end could come very, very quickly if we're not careful. We're still at the point of a wake-up call, but we have to wake up. And by waking up, I don't mean ascension. By waking up, I mean realizing the predicament we have placed ourselves in and working spiritually to get out of it. Unless we recognize our spiritual core, unless we recognize that the earth has a spiritual core, we are in fact doomed.
Absolutely.
If we change now, if we work to put light into each other, into the earth, if we respect the creatures of the earth and the earth itself, it's not too late. But we're heading down a very short and steep path that's leading us to complete cataclysm if we don't change.
Right. Well, I always say, you know, humans are the only animal on Earth dumb enough to destroy their own web of life.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I was watching a movie. I guess it's a brand new movie. I think it was on Netflix last night, called Extinction. And it didn't have to do with the animals as much, but it did have to do with AI. And it was very interesting because at the end of the movie, I came away thinking the planet might be better off if robots were the only inhabitants on this planet.
If they were caretakers, that'd be great.
Well, the way they presented them, they were. And you saw the improvement. Right. You see the improvement from them to humans. And I don't want to ruin the movie for people that are going to watch it. But it's one of those movies where, you know, it's certainly not an Academy Award winner, but it will leave you thinking at the end of the movie. And I think that too many people don't want to think anymore.
Oh, absolutely. We've handed it over to technology. We've handed the thinking over. And this, again, is a reflection of us not acknowledging our spiritual selves and our personal responsibility. We love to hand over responsibility for everything. I'm ill because of you. I'm poor because of you. Mm-hmm. I'm in this situation because of you. My relationship is disintegrated because of you. It's always because of you. It's never because of me.
Right.
We never look within and think, well, maybe I've got things askew. Maybe I should be listening to what I'm saying to myself via my spiritual core.
Right.
Maybe I'm here to learn things. Maybe I'm here to take personal responsibility. And it's the greatest gift we've got, personal responsibility.
Right.
We steer our own ship. But at the moment, we prefer anybody or anything else to do it for us, including increasingly technology, which is taking away, as you say, our ability to think. Technology in itself is not a bad thing. It's the way that we're using it. It's simply a tool. But we've given over responsibility and are giving over responsibility increasingly to that tool, which is very scary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, and here in America, we have a president who doesn't take responsibility for anything. So he's now the immoral compass of the country. And I see a lot of people repeating his hatred, his vitriol, his ignorance, and think it's okay now. It's like the gloves are off where they can just go wild in the streets. And just looking at this, it's like, I never in a million years would have ever thought this country would be where it's at when I was a kid.
I mean, the message, of course, has got to be, if you hurt someone, you're hurting yourself. If you hate someone, you're hating yourself. You're hating your brother. You're hating your sister. That is spiritual reality. No matter what you might choose to believe, that is spiritual reality.
Mm-hmm.
You hurt me, you hurt yourself. You hurt someone else, you hurt yourself. How can you hate yourself? There is only one organism in the universe. One. You can call it source, you can call it God, you can call it creative energy. There is one source, and we are each a part of that source. Therefore, we are each a part of each other, and an equal part of each other. Part of the seas, part of the creatures, part of the skies, part of the earth, part of every race, part of every thought. We have to get back to that knowledge, and that knowledge is within us, but we choose to ignore it. That knowledge shouts at us when we meditate, shouts at us when we're quiet, when we become silent, when we search for the God within, the source within. But we ignore it, and we ignore it and cover it with noise, cover it with busyness, cover it with, it doesn't matter. It does matter.
Right.
Acknowledge that everyone else is you, not just a part of you, is you. You're a facet of everyone else. Everyone else is a facet of you. We have to accept that. We have to understand it and embrace it. Then things change.
Right. Well, you know, in this particular book, and I'm sure your others, but in Many Voices, One Mission, you talk about the fact, which is, again, something Native Americans have taught for, you know, centuries, that everything is alive, everything has a consciousness, and everything comes literally from the earth, and the importance of blessing everything you have and doing it every day. And I think people are no longer grateful or even consider that. You know, I'll give you an example. After 14 years, the water heater in my house died, okay? But it died a slow death. It didn't flood. It didn't do anything. It just went peacefully into the night. And I thanked it for that. I thanked it for the 14 years. I thanked it for not flooding my house. And then I welcomed the new one in its stead. I'm sure most people would think that that's a crazy thing to do, but that's how I talk to my house and I tell it, you know, what I expect. It's sort of the same way I do body talk. You know, I tell my body what I expect. And I think that people have moved so far away from the sacred that it's understandable that they're all losing their minds.
My spiritual teacher many years ago moved into a house, and she was in that house for the rest of her life. And the house must have had some very bad vibrations in it or atmospheres in it at some stage. And she couldn't settle. And she found herself sitting in the center of the town on a bench, wondering what to do next because this house was having such a negative effect on her. Mm-hmm. And then she gathered herself up, she went back into the house, and she touched each wall. She put the palms of her hands on each wall, and she said, "I'm sorry, I've got it wrong. I love you. I am so sorry. Thank you for allowing me to stay here." And she went through the entire house and did that. And the atmosphere in the entire house changed. And she was secure in that house for the rest of her life. And when you went into that house, it was like entering a higher vibration. You felt peace, you felt timelessness, you felt healing. And that was because of the arrangement and the love that she had for and with that house. Recently, of course, the boys that were trapped in the cave, if I remember rightly, were asked to ask the cave to forgive them for intruding. And that, to many people, was something that sounded like craziness. But right. To me, it made perfect sense.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, we shouldn't have been here. This is an area for divas. This is an area for other types of creativity. We apologize to you, and we reset your vibration, which, again, makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
So I understand completely with your water heater, we should do it with our cars, we should do it with our tables and chairs, we extend their lives, and we live in harmony with them. And we also create a barrier between where we live and the outside, so that the outside can't get in as much.
Right.
It creates a sanctuary for us within which we can get our thoughts straight and talk to ourselves, our higher selves, our intuition, or those from the spirit realms who come to talk to us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, very few people come into my space. And when they do, they never want to leave. That's the other side of it.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes I have to say, you know, time for you to get the hell out. But it really, people have to protect themselves. You know, I'll give you an example. One of my doctors, actually, she's a chiropractor. She was talking to me this week about she's starting to feel exhausted in her office space. And I had to remind her that, you know, people come in there for healing, so they're dumping all their negative energy and their pain. And I gave her some suggestions, you know, how to use her Reiki, how to clear the space. And, you know, sometimes we forget to do what we know we can do to clear a bad energy out of a space.
Yes, indeed.
But for me, you know, the first thing I do when I buy a house or move into a new place is I smudge it, I talk to it, and then I do the ultimate, Michael, to make it my own. Want to take a guess what that is?
I can't, Marie.
Okay.
What do you do?
I make a nice big pot of sauce. And I let the smell of that Italian sauce fill the whole house. It's kind of like a instead of
any house here.
Right.
Yes,
so
yeah.
It just brings in the good spirits. But you know, people forget even when they travel, you know, the importance of introducing yourself to a space, asking permission to be there from the spirit keepers there. Letting them know what your intentions are so that you can actually have a good experience. But
yes.
A lot of people forget to do that. And I found
to say that you're just passing through, to say that you don't mean any harm.
Exactly.
To ask permission, as you've said.
Right.
To have respect for all things and to treat all things as being alive.
Exactly.
We make this separation, don't we, in our mind. You know, there's a radiator here. It can't possibly be alive. It's a radiator. There is a picture on the wall. That can't be alive. It's a picture. But all these things are creations that we have brought into being. Our angelic selves have co-created.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no lack of life. Life flows through everything. It's a continuous field throughout the universe, our universes. It's only in our heads that we make that separation. It's only in our heads that we make that distinction. I used to, in workshops, take in a variety of objects. I might have a tin of beans or a piece of barbed wire and a leaf and a picture of an animal and a picture of a human being and say, which of these things do you think God thinks, considers to be the most important? And they would say, well, it's the human being, or, you know, it's the human being and the animal. No. This matter of importance and degree is something in our own minds.
Right.
God treats all things as equal because he flows equally, or she flows equally, or it flows equally through all things. There is no division. Therefore, we have to treat everything seemingly outside ourselves as important as ourselves, as being as important as ourselves. Everyone that we meet, every animal we come across, every tree that we pass by, every blade of grass that we step on, every cloud in the sky, they are equally important to God because God flows through everything. And if we understood that, then the world would change now.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if I ever told you about my trip to Tuscany. If I did, stop me so I don't repeat myself. But years ago, I was asked by this spiritual group to be one of the teachers. They probably had about 10 presenters on this trip to Tuscany. And we stayed in, I believe it was called Monte Catini. And it was a gorgeous resort, older hotel, was probably 200 years old. And the people in charge of this supposed spiritual retreat, they had lost control of their group for the entire time we were there. The people didn't show up on time for any of the lectures. They were making fun, you know, we went down to breakfast, and you know what an Italian breakfast is, Michael. They had everything from melons to prosciutto, all this fabulous Italian food, and they were making fun of the food. They were literally the ugly Americans, you know, making fun of the waiters' broken English. And when I got to do my presentation, I changed the whole energy of the space. And the woman who put the trip together came up to me and said, what did you do? I haven't been able to control this crowd all week. And I said to her, because you didn't do anything sacred when you got here. You didn't have an opening prayer. You didn't introduce yourselves to the spirit keepers. I said, why would you expect any kind of cooperation from the energy here when you just came in here and everybody just ran amok?
Yes, indeed.
And that's the importance. I mean, myself, as soon as my feet hit the ground, first of all, Tuscany was a dream come true. It was so gorgeous. But as soon as I got there, I did an offering. I did an introduction. And, you know, I put my intentions out. And that's important. Even if you're going to take a swim in the ocean, it's important.
Yes.
So, you know, the absence of the sacred, I mean, there have been so many books written about that, that it's already almost crazy to keep talking about it. But people have forgotten. You know, a few weeks ago, I was driving in my town with one of my friends, and we came across a herd of elk like I've never seen before. There were at least 100 of them. And I took so many pictures, so much video. And I posted the video on YouTube, and somebody actually posted a nasty comment. So, I mean, if people can't appreciate beauty and sharing beauty, I don't know what their problem is. I just don't get it.
We have this destructive streak as well. You've touched on a very important point there. When did we get to the point where we have to like or dislike everything and express that like or dislike? Why can't we just let things be? There are some very innocent posts on YouTube, as the one that you put up, and you will find people like them, but also people find they have to go out of their way to dislike them.
Right. I was like, what the hell? And I wrote to the guy, I said, I'm sorry you don't appreciate nature, but I do.
Yes.
But, you know, when did we become this? I think that social media has created this. And it's like everybody thinks they're hiding behind their computers, so they're free to just be as disgusting and base as they want to be. We have leaders that just divide.
Which is disturbing.
I know. Well, and you see the violence now. I mean, there are even violence against, you know, TV reporters now. You know, I think it all started when everybody thought they had to be politically correct, which, of course, is impossible for me as an Italian and as a New Yorker. But, you know, and it just seems so easy for people to have their emotions whipped up like that.
Yes. Yes, and to operate from that surface of the emotions rather than from the core of the spirit self.
Exactly.
The spirit self wouldn't dream of harming anyone by disliking what they'd put on Facebook or disliking what they'd put on YouTube. That would be abhorrent to the spirit. The spirit would say, that's fine, but the spirit might point out something that is harming other people.
Exactly.
But wouldn't dream of saying, I dislike this, and I dislike you, and I'm now going to shout at you, I'm going to swear at you, I want to cause harm to you.
I know.
You can see that we're operating from the surface only. You can see that we are puppets of the field of negativity that we put our thoughts into every day. More and more we are puppets of the field, which is exactly what the field wants. The field is set to negative, it wants to continue being set to negative, and we are feeding it. We have to feed it a different diet.
Mm-hmm.
And that different diet isn't on the surface, that different diet comes from within. And it's great food for the field, it's light for the field, it changes the field. It stops us looking at things with such anger, with such hatred.
Mm-hmm.
With such disdain, and changes us back to what we really are. But until that day, we're stuck. You know, I look at many people who say that we're going to ascend, that the earth is going to change. We can't ascend until we change.
Right.
Until we change our minds, we're stuck here. We can't elevate to any higher vibration until we can resonate at that higher vibration. And we can only resonate at that higher vibration by learning to care for each other, to love each other, and to love ourselves. There is no other way. Politics will never solve it. Wars will never solve it. Dictatorships will never solve it. The only way to change things is to go within, acknowledge that we are angelic beings, bring that light out, and love everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Every master spirit since we trod the earth has said that. And we still ignore it. And time is running out.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that you write about in the book, I don't know which one of the guides had said it, and I think it's something that a lot of people don't realize, you know, maybe because religion has clouded their thinking about where they're going next. But the truth of the matter is, while we're here, and you talk about it in the book, we're building the house we go to next in the spiritual realm.
Yes.
And, you know, I've often said, well, actually, I have always said, I'm doing everything I know how to do to wake people up so that I can leave here with clean hands. I don't want to be trapped, you know, in couch potato land with most other people like you have in your book, Your Life After Death. That's a visual I never got past in that book where everybody's couch potatoing in their beds and nobody's moving for who knows, millennia. That's not me. But people don't realize that every action they do here counts for where they get to go later.
Yes, we have a core vibration. And that core vibration harmonizes with a similar vibration of reality. And when we act from our spiritual self, when we act spiritually, when we send out light, when we treat people with respect, when we understand that we're all one, when we respect the earth and the creatures on the earth, we raise our vibration. And that raised vibration harmonizes with a similar vibration. In other words, we elevate ourselves through the areas of spiritual reality that exist beyond this one. If we haven't raised it to any degree, then we find ourselves in somewhere that's very like this, because that's what we expect.
Right.
We expect there to be houses such as the houses we have here. We expect there to be streets, and we go to the public house, you know, and have a drink on a Saturday night. And we maintain that illusion until such time as we think, enough of this, there must be something more. But in order for there to be something more, we have to contemplate something more, and we have to work towards something more in raising our vibrations. It's not a judgment, it's just a mechanism. We can only go to the place that we vibrate in accordance with, to a similar vibration. So if our expectations are, I want another life here, that's what we ultimately get, because we choose it.
No.
If our expectations of heaven, in inverted commas, are that it must be very similar to the earth, that's the level we find ourselves at. And we might be happy for, in the illusion of time, hundreds of thousands of years, but we're not progressing. we're not becoming more. We're not functioning as the God within us wants us to function. We are supposed to always expand. We are supposed to always draw in more light, give out more light, get closer to the Godhead, create more, be more, move on to different vistas, wonderful places. But we decide that we are limiting our vibrations because this is what we want. We want somewhere like the earth, and that's what we're creating next, which is very sad.
Very sad. Well, you know, and I also remember reading in this book that you talk about earth actually experiencing something like hardening of the arteries.
Yes, the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, in that we are the pollutant. We are solidifying the planet. We are solidifying one reality, our vision of reality. The earth, at its core, at its inception, was a beautiful, crystal, wonderful sphere of experience. It was a sphere where angelic beings, the angelic beings that we really are, came to visit, to journey through, and to experience all that the earth could uniquely give to our individual experience so that we could move on and be more creative, move on to other experiences. But what we've actually done is to layer the same experience in again and again and again. The rubbish of our thoughts, the mistakes of the past, we can't get rid of them because we're not treating them with light. We can't let go of them because we expect them. We expect more of the same. Mm-hmm. And we feed the field of negative energy with more negative energy. And so we're layering onto the earth more and more rubbish. Not just material rubbish, but vibrational rubbish. The material rubbish that we see, the pollutants in our oceans, the nasty things we have on our land masses, are only a reflection of those darker vibrations that we are clogging the earth with. And if you clog the earth for long enough, what happens? It can't function. If it can't function, we can't function. And then we go into a kind of stasis.
Right.
And then the earth has to be repaired by angelic forces, to the point where it can sustain us again, and we repeat the journey. Hopefully this time not to make the same mistakes.
Right. Well, Michael, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. Michael and I will be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground, out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back. I'm speaking with Michael Rachia. We're talking about Many Voices, One Mission. Get over to josephspeaks.com. I have recommended so many people go over to your website that they're probably sick of me. But when they get there, they tend to buy pretty much every book you have there. Because when people ask me, especially my clients, you know, if they want to be on their spiritual journey, truthfully, Joe, you're the only one that I recommend they get their spiritual knowledge from.
Thank you, Maria.
I said, everything you need to know is in his books. Okay, start with that. When you're done with all his books, then come back and let's talk some more. Because it's pure. Your message is pure. It's simple. It's to the point. You don't beat around the bush like so many people, and they never give you a straight answer. One thing I have to say is your books absolutely give you straight answers. Now, you know, one of the things in this book, you talk about that most people, and I will agree, most people are unprepared for the journey into the next world. And the truth of the matter is most people don't even think there is anything after this life, let alone to prepare themselves that, you know, this life is not all there is.
Yeah, it's a strange mindset, isn't it, to say there's nothing after death. How can you say that?
Right.
The best you can say is that you don't know. Open your mind a little, you know. How can you say there is nothing? You haven't been there yet. But on your own terms, you haven't been there yet.
Right.
How can you say that there's nothing? There's certainly a lot more evidence for there being something than there is for you saying that there's nothing. If you just look, for example, at the number of people that I talked to when I worked as a medium, thousands and thousands of people, where I would either sit with them directly or remotely, in that they would send me a photograph from everywhere in the world,
right,
anywhere and everywhere in the world, and I would sit in a blank room and listen. And we would receive testimonials saying, how did you know that?
Right.
How did you know those names? How did you know what my house was like? How did you know what was going to happen to me? All of which has happened. And I would say, I knew because somebody was talking to me. Now, how can you equate that with there being nothing after death?
Right.
Names, situations, some of which hadn't happened at the time when I was talking to people, and all because I could see the spirits that were talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the guiding influences that were protecting me and passing on the messages, and I was repeating what had been said to me. Of course there's something after death. We need to open those steel traps of our mind to that possibility at first, and then certainty as we begin to explore, we begin to investigate what lies beyond death. There's plenty of evidence out there. You just have to go and get it.
Right. Well, you know, even when I was a kid and, you know, you'd read science, you know, or even biblical stories, you know, oh, who was it? Noah supposedly lived to be, you know, in his mid-700s and this and that. Turtles that lived to be 400 years old. Trees that lived to be so long. And the average human being maybe is going to see 80 years. And that never made sense to me. And I was like, well, if turtles and trees live longer than us, then this can't be it. Okay. And of course, I did have a lot of, you know, different experiences myself, you know, since the age of 4 years old. So for me, you know, the how could we call it paranormal was more normal than this. You know, what people need to ask themselves is there life after birth? You know,
absolutely.
It's absolutely. Like, if this is it, you know, my mother used to say, if this is heaven, she said, give me hell. You know, my mother seemed to always see very clearly through the illusion here. You know, sometimes I wonder if she ever saw anything good down here. But the longer I live, the more sense a lot of what she said makes to me.
Absolutely. We're the ones that are dead, aren't we? We are dead to our true selves. We are dead to the creative possibilities that exist beyond this planet. But we are dead to communication with the people who've gone on ahead of us under normal circumstances. The relatives we've lost, the friends that we've lost, we haven't lost them at all, but we are dead to them because we are in this dense vibration. On other planets, in other spheres, it's not like this at all. We've created this darkness. We are creative beings. We've got to create something else. And then we will... There was a time on this Earth when we came here in full knowledge of us being spirits.
Mm.
In full knowledge that we would return to a higher vibration after we had experienced this particular journey. full knowledge, but we've lost all that. And we would have communication with our relatives that are in other spiritualities. There was no problem with that. But we've cut all that off. We've turned away from it. It's not that God has separated us from our relatives. We've separated ourselves by the darkness that we've invested in and the materiality that we've made take the place of our God.
Exactly. Well, I think we got stuck in duality. We got stuck in ego. Then we moved into the me generation. You know, I got mine, the hell with you. And yeah, I think you remember in the 70s when they had that, you know, that banner or bumper sticker, whoever dies with the most toys wins. I mean, as soon as we shifted into materialism, I think it was downhill right after that.
Absolutely. And does materialism, does any one thing make us happy for a long time? No, because it can't. We're seeking what we've lost. Subconsciously, we're seeking what we've lost. We're seeking the God within. We're seeking the God in other people. And we invest in materiality and say, the car will make me happy. And then it doesn't after a month or so. The house will make me happy. Doesn't. The money will make me happy. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get back to what really will make us happy. And that's the knowledge that we are one. The knowledge that we're part of each other. The knowledge that we're part of God.
Right.
We can't take any of this lower vibrational rubbish with us, but we do take vibrational rubbish with us. We take the results of our thinking with us, the results of our beliefs with us,
right.
And that's far more dangerous than the actual material counterparts. We take vibrational pollution with us, so we surround ourselves with the same darkness and muddled point of view until we've learned to see through it, learned to elevate our vibrations. And it's better that we learn to elevate our vibrations here so that when we leave this place, we are instantly on past the initial spheres of spiritual reality and into the higher realms, into beauty, into creativity, into connection with other spirits, into love and into bliss. And those are the things we're looking for here, but we look for them in the next car and the next holiday and the next house and the next high, and it will never work.
I agree. And, you know, I find that, you know, especially on the same subject you're talking about, what I find is a lot of people, no matter how rich they are, how good their lives are going, they still feel like something's missing. And they've said to me, you know, I feel like I have a hole in my soul, and I don't know how to fill that hole. And some people try to fill it with drugs or food or whatever. But I've always felt that that missing piece is our connection to home. It's our desire to go home. And no matter what you do here, you're not going to be able to fulfill that until you can drop your body and leave.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We know that we're not supposed to be here. Not forever. We know this is not our home. Again, my spiritual teacher had a very similar experience to me. She hated being here. She never felt secure. She always felt that she was out of step. And she always felt that this wasn't home, and home was literally where the heart is. Home was at core. And I think that's how a great many spiritual workers feel. They feel out of step. They feel that this isn't the vibration that they're supposed to be a part of. We're here to work, but it's not where we're supposed to be. But ultimately, it's not where any of us is supposed to be, except for a trip. Except in spiritual reality, for a journey, a holiday, a vacation to a different sphere of influence, a different experience. And when we've been on the rides and looked at all that this experience has to offer us, we return home. But we've forgotten that.
Right. Well, listen, I think I've always known that. I mean, since I can repair, after I got hit by that truck when I was 4 years old, I remember the first day that my mother forced me to go outside, which I didn't want to do. And I looked around and I said, where am I? How do I get home? I still remember that. It's like I can still see myself at four saying that to myself. Where am I? How did I get here? How do I get out of here? That's how I felt. And of course, through the years, I had to make peace with the fact that I'm here, okay? So it's like, okay, you're here, you might as well do something, you know, might as well piss off everybody in the world while you're here. Because somebody, it was funny, so last week at the gym, somebody said to me, do you still work, you know? And I said, well, no. And they said, I said, you know, sort of. And they said, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a semi-retired troublemaker. And I dropped it at that. But I feel like I've been screaming my whole life to wake people up, even though I haven't been screaming. But it almost feels like my soul has been screaming, you know, wake up, you know, none of this is real. Are you kidding me? Let's get the hell out of here. But I've always known that I was here to find my people, wake them up and get them ready to get out of here.
I had a similar experience, not being hit by a truck. That must have been terrible for you, Maria.
Well, I don't really remember much of it, except almost losing my eye.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. But the last but one trance session, I was taken away very deeply. That's the only way I can describe it. And on coming back, on trying to connect with my earthly consciousness, I opened my eyes, still very still. I couldn't move. I looked around at the room, and I recognized it, but didn't recognize it. It looked like a stage set to me. I've seen film studios in the past, through titles, hobby titles that I've produced. I went to the film studios in Pinewood and Shepperton. And, you know, you look at the back of a stage set, and you can see pieces of wood holding the walls in place, because that's all they are. They're just flat surfaces with pieces of wood tacked on at the back. Mm-hmm. And my room looked just like that. And I thought, I do not want to be here. Mm-hmm. And I felt the sensation of falling down into myself and knowing at that point that I was still operating from my higher self. And my higher self didn't want to be in my lower self, for want of a better word.
Right.
So I didn't want to be in the room, and I didn't want to return to my life.
Hey, you have a book to finish.
Well, that's it. Not only a book to finish, but to promote that book and make sure that it gets to as many people as possible.
Right. No one gets out of here alive.
No. But that was a similar experience in that I recognized and didn't recognize my surroundings.
Right. I understand.
They looked cardboard. They looked false.
Right. I remember that, and I remember just looking up at the slum I was living in and saying, this isn't the way we're supposed to be living. I said, who are these crazy people? Where are my Jewish parents? I mean, all these thoughts were going through my head at 4 years old. Luckily, I kept them to myself. Luckily in those days, they didn't put kids on, you know, psychotropic drugs, because they probably would have drugged me out a long time ago. But listen, when you talk or you read about people that had near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, they all say the same thing. None of them wanted to come back.
Yeah.
You know, so they've experienced a form of nirvana that doesn't exist on this planet. You can't buy it. Do you know what I mean? It's not here.
No. There's a liberation. There's a higher consciousness. There's a realization that things do not end. Everything here is tainted with the impression that things end, that we are coming to the end of things.
Right.
No matter what we buy, no matter what we invest in, it will end. We will end. When you're liberated from that consciousness, you know that you are part of not just eternity, but infinity, and that we don't, in fact, end. We go on to greater and greater experiences. And that is a wonderful, wonderful, liberating thing. And you're not afraid, you're not insecure, the petty grievances that we have as human beings disappear, and it is a wonderful, wonderful state. And that's our natural state.
Right.
So many of us, by choice, choose to come back here.
Well, I told you, I've already instructed my family, in the event that I'm unconscious, to scream, never come back to me, repeatedly, on my way out. If I wasn't chicken shit, I would tattoo it on the inside of my eyelids. So, I'm going to do my best not to make that turn. But you know, what's interesting is one of my good friends has noticed, whenever I'm done with something, I don't even turn back and give it one last look.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that part of my personality does the same when I pull out of this body for the last time, that I don't even make a turnaround to take one last look.
Yes, just keep running, Maria.
Oh, well, I'll be running. I'm going to take a flying leap and just take off like Superman. Hey, I like to fly, and the only place I can fly is in my dreams, and I love it.
Yes, indeed.
You know, we're so limited. People don't realize they're so obsessed with their physical body, but they don't realize how limiting the physical body is.
Yes.
You know,
restrictive.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, and I'm talking, of course, to my audience, because I know you've experienced it. When you're asleep at night, nothing matters. I mean, you're having a great and grand old time. You have no limitations on you. You can go wherever you want to go just by thought. And it's the same thing when you don't have your physical body at all. You just have a freedom that you just will never have inside a body.
Yes, yes. We're so isolated, so insular in the physical body. We don't connect to people in the percentage that we do so on the spiritual side of life. We realize that we're one with everything. We realize there's nothing to fear. And we realize this. You feel this great love and peace that we don't experience here. And you know that love and that peace is eternal, is infinite.
Right.
And that's a far better thing than the new car or the next holiday.
Exactly. But hey, if you get a new car, introduce yourself to it, give it a name, and talk to it every time you get in it.
Yes, absolutely.
I do. Yeah. I talk to my car all the time. I even talk to my mother while I'm in my car all the time. And my mother's been dead for 20 years. But, you know, my mother used to love, you know, the radio. You know, my mother loved music. And I remember when I got my first car that I could actually put my own music in, you know, connect your iPod to it and play your own songs without commercials. And it comes through the car stereo. And I was driving down the hill and I said, Ma, look at what you could do now with your own music. I said to her, you would have loved driving this car. So, you know, you can still have conversation with people just because they're on the other side doesn't mean they don't hear you.
Absolutely. And to treat them as though they are here and in connection with you. It must be very frustrating for them to be around you and see what's happening to you and not be able to make any connection because you are so tied into a lower vibration.
Right.
If we expect communion and connection with our relatives, then we open up the possibility of that communion and connection, and we get it.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful thing to happen.
I mean, they don't come around that often, but I always say, who blames them? You know, once I'm off this earth, like I've already told even my own grandchildren, you know, I'll drop in on you once every couple of years, and I'll wait for you, you know, when they send your name out to the universe that you're getting ready, I'll be there. But don't expect me to hang around here every day, because that's not going to happen.
It's not somewhere you want to visit.
No,
it's somewhere you choose to visit.
Hell no. It's too much drama. You know, you talk about everything in creation has drama in it. And, you know, there is a lot of drama on this planet. It's like everybody's got personal drama. You got national drama. You got international drama. Is there drama like this anywhere else in the universe?
No, there is experience. As Joseph puts it, there is experience. We exist to experience. I mean, we're back to the huge topic that we've covered before of the fall. Which is not a biblical reference.
Right.
It is an experimental reference. And we got things wrong millennia ago, and we tied ourselves into a pattern of thinking, into a negative pattern of thinking, into a negative way of creating. So everything that we see, all the repeated patterns, are down to the fall, are down to that one event. Doesn't mean we can't get out of it, but we have to recognize that it happened, and we have to recognize that we've got to make changes. If we don't like the world, change it. If we don't like the way people are acting, give them enough light surround them with enough light so that they can consider what they're doing. There's enough illumination around them for them to consider what they're doing and make changes. It is down to us, and it's an action time. You know, something that we always try and get across to people is that the time for action is now. You can't just sit back and say, what a terrible world, it's awful. If it's awful, change it.
Mm-hmm.
If your life is awful, change it. Go within, bring out light, create what you want to create, and create that better world. And you are just as powerful as any politician, you're just as powerful as any army general, you're just as powerful as anyone in a seeming material position of power. More so because they don't understand that they create what they think via what they think.
Right.
You are a powerful angelic being. Use that power. Don't use it to become a couch potato. Use it to change this world and save souls. And you can do it now.
Exactly. And basically, you know, one truth that I've never seen change is you change the world one person at a time.
Absolutely.
You know, people think they're going to get out in front of a huge audience and change the world. That's not going to happen. You do it one at a time.
Yes.
And, you know,
one day at a time, one word at a time, one action at a time, and work with the circumstances that are brought to you. You will be taken to the people that you can change. You will be put into the circumstances where you can make a difference. Trust that source, that God within, to lead you into those circumstances where you can make a positive difference.
Absolutely.
We need workers. The world needs workers. If we're ever to get out, the world needs workers. And that means everybody.
Right. You can't sit back. And I hear so many people say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not a bad person. I said, but you're not doing anything right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So even indecision is a decision. Doing nothing is a decision.
Absolutely.
And it will count on the vibration of your soul. Everything counts.
Yes.
So if you can sit back and watch injustice, you're also of that low vibration.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you have to go out there as a martyr and give your life for a cause, but you can at least say, I disagree with that. That's wrong. But
you can give your life spiritually. You don't have to give your life materially. You don't have to lay down your life and die. That's no use to anyone here.
Right.
You have to use your life spiritually, and you can give something of each of your days. There is a time in each of your days when you can concentrate on bringing out the light, when you can concentrate on changing things, when a word here or an action there will make a difference to someone that will change them for eternity, for infinity. We can each do something. We have to ask what we can do. We have to ask to be led into the circumstances, and then we have to act. And we have to act now.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for your 2 days ago radio show today, even though it felt like 2 years to me. But I'm sure you'll be close to finishing your new book by the time we get to talk again. So I'm getting excited for it.
Where are we now? August. Yes, we will have finished it. Please, God, Maria. Yeah.
Well, that'll be a good thing. Remember, I got to get the first copy, and I want it hand-signed this time.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, thanks so much. My love to Jane, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. You take good care of yourself, Maria. God bless.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Michael Urquilla, check his work out at josephspeaks.com. You're really going to ever hear me recommend somebody's work as much as I do his. But it's pure, it's direct, it's to the point, and I still haven't found a problem with any of it. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. Just supporting the show shows that you're doing something good. You're doing something positive. You're taking an active measure. You know, the countless hours I put into this, I would say, is one of the big things that I'm doing here. So let other people know what you learn. That's another way of making a difference. And again, thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.